The English language gives us the ability to create some fascinating adjectives out of nouns by adding the suffix some, S-O-M-E. So, for example, we have awesome, bothersome and burdensome, cumbersome, fearsome and fulsome, gladsome and gruesome, handsome, irksome and lithesome, loathsome and lonesome, meddlesome, nettlesome and noisome, quarrelsome and tiresome, wearisome, wholesome, and worrisome. And one of these some words is particularly useful in understanding today's feast, darksome. It means gloomy and lightless, somber and shadowy, cheerless. And while there is much in the world that is good and true and beautiful, much that is ennobling and uplifting, we have to admit that this world of ours can be a darksome place. In fact, there is such cruelty, suffering, and injustice in the world that we can all be overwhelmed by the darksomeness of life. And no matter how advanced our technology becomes, fallen and darksome human nature can inflict unimaginably savage brutality on other people in the name of loathsome ideologies and irksome false religions. But though darkness in human life is real and undeniable, it is never victorious. Why? Listen to the prophet Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. For to us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and upon his shoulder dominion rests. For those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ comes in bleak midwinter, just at the moment when the ever-growing night is turned back by the light of the sun shining stronger and longer. And thus does nature join the church in rejoicing over the gift described by St. John the Evangelist. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came to be through him, and what came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In this way, the beloved disciple describes the cosmic struggle between the darkness of nothingness and the light of life. And so he echoes the book of Genesis, which tells us that God's creative action began when he spoke his eternal word, "Let there be light." The Nicene Creed, which we will all profess together in a moment, describes the Lord Jesus as God from God and light from light, thus confirming the existential truth that the Father's eternal and only begotten Son, the one through whom all things came to be, is the light of the world, and the only light finally capable of enlightening every human person to know the full truth about our origin, our dignity, and our destiny. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, and from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Those of us who have received this gospel with saving faith must now follow the example of the ever-Virgin Mother of God and shine as lights in the darkness by reflecting the light of the Lord, just as the moon reflects and magnifies the light of the sun. Jesus said to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world," meaning that our lives must be like the sun, leading others out of the darksomeness of life with the light of Jesus Christ, true God and true man. And this we do by proclaiming the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ by our words and deeds, by our witness and worship. The gospel acclamation for this Mass during the day tells us why our hearts are so full and why the darksome world can no longer make us afraid. A holy day has dawned upon us. Come, you nations, and adore the Lord, for today a great light has come upon the earth. And that light's name is Emmanuel, God with us, Prince of Peace, Alpha and Omega, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, the heir of David and Shepherd King of Israel, the Son of God and the Son of Mary, the Lord Jesus Christ.